It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
So this week for our regular segment with the Green Party, we had James Shaw back with us. New New Zealand-led research has warned that dangerous and unpredictable weather will be the world's future if we don't start taking steps to prevent climate change. Minister for Climate Change James Shaw believes that this research backs up the case for climate change action. We discussed the new research in terms of the rule book for Paris and the zero carbon bill. I began by suggesting that extreme weather due to climate change must be a given. So why is this research important?
So the research that's out, I think, gives us a much better picture than we've had in the past about the impact of climate change on weather patterns, and gives us kind of more specificity, if you like. So like you say, we've known for a long time that changes in the climate lead to changes in weather. But this, I think, really helps us to, I think, get a better picture of that and helps us to prepare.
At the end of last year, you were in Poland for COP24 and the agreement on the rulebook for Paris. How does this research reflect the work done globally for climate change?
Well, I mean, one of the big topics of conversation, and in fact, one of the big drivers for the conference in Poland at the end of last year, was the UN report that came out about two-thirds of the way through last year, talking about, you know, the impact of going above 1.5 degrees of global warming. And so, you know, every time we get one of these reports, and they are coming through thick and fast, they just help to kind of, I guess, add to the impetus for policymakers to actually get our act together and to start reducing emissions dramatically, which is what's got to happen.
With these increase in reports and obviously building the case for climate change action, can we expect to see dramatic changes in the way countries make policy on climate change after big conferences such as COP24, or will it be more of a gradual process?
I think it'll be different in different places. I mean, there have been some dramatic moves already. I mean, you remember when we announced here in New Zealand that we're going to be phasing out offshore oil and gas exploration, that was perceived to be pretty radical. Actually, I would describe it as a fairly measured response to what we know about climate change. France has done the same thing. They've banned all offshore exploration for gas and extraction for gas. Some of the biggest moves have actually been in the domain of electric vehicles. So you've seen a number of countries, for example, say that after a certain date, whether it's 2035 or 2040, they're not going to allow the sale of new combustion engine vehicles on their roads. They've all got to be electric. And so, you know, those signal some pretty big shifts over the coming decades.
You've said that this research backs up the zero carbon bill here in New Zealand. What is the next step for the bill?
Well, it's almost the first step for the bill. It's got to get into the House and to get through its first reading, and we expect to do that sometime in the next few months.
Is it expected to go well, the first reading?
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, we've said before, you know, we've been negotiating with the opposition in good faith around the terms of the bill, and I'm, you know, really pleased with the way that they've been engaging with us on it. But that's not a guarantee that they will vote for the bill, and I guess they'll just have to make their own minds up. But I would anticipate, at least on the first reading, people will, you know, I guess it would be my expectation that people will sort of shepherd it through, get it to select committee, and then they can iron out any other kinks that they think are in it, and then I guess reserve judgment until a bit later in the process.
I suppose with something like this, it requires a huge amount of support. And it was recently reported that the West Coast Regional Council will not support the zero carbon bill and submitted that the evidence proving anthropogenic climate change must be presented and proven beyond reasonable doubt. What was your reaction to this?
Well, I mean, the evidence has been presented and proven beyond reasonable doubt. I mean, you basically have the entire world's entire scientific community saying, you know, climate change is happening, it is caused by humans, it is bad, but they're also saying we can still do something about it. But I understand, you know, the West Coast is one of those regions in New Zealand that's got a heavy reliance on coal mining, or it has in the past, and people feel that their jobs are under threat by the transition to a low-carbon future. And when people feel like their jobs or their livelihoods are under threat, then they resist. And that's a completely understandable human reaction. So, my view is, I thought it was unfortunate, but it's actually understandable that kind of sentiment that was being expressed there on the coast.
So when it comes to that, with the zero carbon bill and the idea that people may be losing jobs, moving to a low carbon New Zealand, what are the options for people that potentially may lose their jobs because of the changes?
Well, so the government set up something called a Just Transitions team based in our Ministry of Economic Development, and we're looking at what it is that we need to do to support industries and investors and workers and communities that are most exposed to that risk through the transition. The one thing, I guess, that I would say is that, for the most part, this is actually going to be a gradual transition over the course of a couple of decades. And therefore, people who are in the industry today, A, they've got time to prepare, or B, they might actually be retired by the time that we get there. So it is a sort of a phased and gradual transition. It's not a sort of a sudden shock to the system like we saw in New Zealand back in the 1980s.
I suppose some sort of extreme climate change thinkers may think we're not moving fast enough. How can we be moving gradually when the world and climate's not waiting for that?
Yeah, I mean, there is a real tension there, and bizarrely, both statements are true. So when you say, we're not moving fast enough, one thing that IPCC report said last year it's called the 1.5 report, said that we've got about 10 years, really, to bend the curve of global emissions if we're to have any hope of limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial temperatures. And so clearly, globally and here in New Zealand, we are not moving at that kind of pace. At the same time, 10 years is a reasonable stretch. And one of my favourite sayings is people often overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And I think if you think back 10 years from today, like, a lot has changed about New Zealand society, a lot has changed about our economy, a lot has changed in technology in that period of time. And so I think that, yes, we are, the window of opportunity is closing, but we still do have time. It's just going to take a bit of effort. It would have been better if we'd started 30 years ago.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.